You see, somewhere in the 1930s, Russian scientists discovered that when you reduce the dissolved level of oxygen in your blood for a brief period of time, there are many positive outcomes. Outcomes such as
the seven chakras, swirling vortices of energy positioned throughout our body from the base of the spine to the crown of the head. For thousands of years, this ancient wisdom has been passed on from master to disciple. What are the functions of these energy centers? And could these chakras help you unlock your destiny and find your true purpose? Welcome to My Seven Chakras. And now, your host, Aditya Jai Kumar.
If you're on the path of spirituality, you've probably come across the book called Autobiography of a Yogi and other yogic books that talk about these mystical Himalayan yogis that would live for 110, 120, 130 years or even beyond that. What are their secrets? How are they able to live till such an old age? And more importantly, how are they able to retain their youthful glow and their vigor and energy even at such an old age? Are all those stories just myths and rumors, or is there some truth to what they're saying? Today, I'm going to attempt to tell you at least one secret that might be key to living longer. And I'm also going to tell you how you can apply these secrets into your life to live longer. What's up, Action Tribe? AJ here, host and founder of My Seven Chakras, mysevenchakras.com, the place where we help you experience healing, awakening, and abundance. Wow, what a year it has been, right? So many changes, coronavirus, masks, social distancing, staying at home, and of course, the implications of all of this on our mental health, our jobs, our relationships, and the entire world. And this phase has allowed a lot of us to really go inwards and find out what we're truly passionate about and how we can align with our life's purpose. And for me, this phase has really affirmed to me that my calling lies in helping you heal yourself, calm your mind, and relax your entire being. And I've been meaning to do more of these solo episodes, but you know what? I just don't want to create episodes for the sake of it, which is why I took the time to go inwards, get more clarity and alignment on what exactly I'm here to do, and be a sponge and really dive into the stories, into the practices, test it out, experiment it on myself and research all of the stuff that will help you, my friend, lead a better quality life. And I feel that I'm ready to share because I have honestly missed connecting one-on-one with you. I do the interviews, but this thing that we have here, you and me, that is special. So I appreciate you listening and I want to do more of these. But the question for today is, what is the longevity secret of the Himalayan yogis? So to attempt to answer this question, let's first understand their lifestyle. Most of these yogis would live high up in the mountains, inside caves, where it was really cold and with less oxygen at that elevation. What would they eat? They would mostly eat berries and fruits and food available out in nature. And they would have bath in the cold, cold waters of the rivers, cold exposure. And of course, they would also do yoga and they would also do tantric practices to align themselves, to purify their energy and to connect with the universe. But have you noticed something about people living high up in the mountains, whether it's mountains in Tibet or Himalayas or Switzerland or the Andes? These people, they seem happy. They seem youthful. They seem radiant. They seem fit. So can there be something about the oxygen or lack of oxygen that might be a factor in this? Three words, Action Tribe. Brief, intermittent, hypoxia. I'm going to explain more, but hold on to these words. Brief, intermittent, hypoxia. You see, somewhere in the 1930s, Russian scientists discovered that when you reduce the dissolved level of oxygen in your blood for a brief period of time, there are many positive outcomes. Outcomes such as increased level of hemoglobin production of nitric oxide, which defends the body and especially the tissues against oxidative damage and prevents erectile dysfunction in men. And also another benefit is the increased circulation of stem cells, which have the unique capacity to differentiate into virtually any kind of cell in your body, which has major implications for healing and longevity. So these Russian scientists discovered all these amazing benefits of brief intermittent hypoxia. I know it's a loadful, but they were busy trying to replicate this in their elite athletes and performers. And they would literally take these high-performance athletes on helicopters to high altitudes where there is less oxygen. They created these hypobaric chambers to systematically reduce oxygen levels and gas mixtures that contained 10% oxygen, even lesser than that, to induce intermittent hypoxic conditions in the body. Now, as you can imagine, these methods were very expensive and would literally cost tens of thousands of dollars. But the benefits were really worth it, especially the fact that these stem cells are able to freely roam about in your body when you reduce the oxygen levels. And what they do then? Well, they convert into specific and specialized cells that are needed in a region of your body, because these cells can convert into skin cells, hair cells, nail cells, tissue cells, you name it. Now, this is huge for the field of regenerative medicine, because if this works correctly, then in the future, doctors might be able to reproduce any lost or damaged organ just using these stem cells. So if somebody needs another heart, there you go, stem cells. Somebody needs, you know, like a liver replacement, stem cells. Hand is damaged, you had an accident, stem cells. Now, here's where this gets even more interesting. You see, in the mother's womb, the fetus lives in a very hypoxic environment, which means the oxygen level is naturally very low. What's the level of oxygen? Well, the oxygen content here is the same as you'll find at the top of Mount Everest. Now, the stem cells love this hypoxic environment because it allows them to multiply and grow. And it is at this stage, the fetus stage, when we have the most number of stem cells. So what happens to all these stem cells after? Well, as soon as you're born, that is you and me, we are exposed to the atmospheric oxygen, which has a high concentration of oxygen. It's like you've arrived on a new planet and you now have to sort of get used to this new environment, right? So as the level of oxygen in your blood rises, the stem cells get scared, they get worried, and they slowly but surely disappear from your blood circulation. The question is, where do they go? Well, they go into what is called niches and crevices of your body, including deep inside your bone marrow, where there is low levels of oxygen. In fact, these stem cells are so averse to high levels of oxygen that is normally present in our blood that even in the bone marrow, they are surrounded by a layer of differentiated cells which protect the stem cells from oxidation. In fact, scientists are so fascinated by the prospects of these stem cells that they are now obtaining stem cells from the umbilical cord just after the baby is born. But there are some ethical concerns still surrounding that. So people are like, what is the future? What are they going to do with the stem cells, right? Because you never know. Now, their guess, these scientists believe, is that these stem cells would come in use when the baby becomes a man and needs an organ or needs some tissue replacement or needs a ligament to be recreated. And when that's needed, they'd probably just inject these stem cells in that area of the body or something along those lines. But what if? Here's the main and most important question for today. What if we did not have to do all of this? What if we could leverage the already existing network of blood vessels that are in our body that are designed to transport blood and stem cells wherever they are needed? The only missing piece then, if you really look at it, is the level of oxygen in our body. Because remember, stem cells cannot roam around and do their job, which is repairing and rejuvenating in a high oxygen environment. The solution, my friend, is yoga. You see, under yoga, pranayama is one of the 8 branches of yoga, and it literally means energy control. And there's one specific technique called Nishesh Rechak Kumbhaka, which involves holding your breath for a specific amount of time, as long as possible, which gradually lowers the level of diluted oxygen in your body and inducing, guess what? Brief, intermittent hypoxia. Remember, this is not chronic hypoxia, which isn't good for the body, but this is intermittent hypoxia for a really short period of time that helps activate and proliferate your stem cells, your magic cells. I call them the magic cells because they're huge. I mean, if you're able to use your stem cells effectively, you can live longer. Now, you don't immediately hold your breath, of course, but before that, you do a few rounds of rhythmic, conscious, gradual breathing in a certain way to completely relax your body, harmonize your system, and send a message to your nervous system that it's okay. You don't have to stress out. You can focus on relaxation. You can focus on digestion. You can focus on building your immunity, right? And so you can do that. You can send these signals. You can consciously affect your nervous system, which, you know, if you ask somebody from 30 years back, they would tell you, no, it's all autonomic. But now we know that we actually have conscious control. We can take conscious control of our involuntary functions just by breathing in a certain pattern. Now the question is, how does this feel, right? The whole experience feels very relaxing, very de-stressing, very calming, and very healing, especially if you mix it with some beautiful uplifting music and with some seeded intentions to speak directly to your subconscious mind. And I'm sharing all these powerful techniques and practices, everything that I'm coming across inside our Action Tribe Energy Circle community and with people in our Facebook group. I am surprised by how much of an impact it's making on people's lives, because some people are getting better sleep, some people are slowly able to let go of smoking and other addictions, some folks are able to release trauma from a difficult relationship from the past, and some people are able to experience true self-love. It's different for everybody, which is beautiful. In fact, someone whose sleep has improved because of our weekly breathwork sessions said this. And she said, it was amazing. I felt in a trance state when it ended and found it hard to come back to the room. I could feel a real sense of healing occurring with the beautiful indigo flowing throughout my head, occasionally with bursts of orange and gold and white light. I felt quite tired and had such a deep sleep and couldn't get out of the bed despite setting 3 alarms. And by the way, this is someone who I spoke to before we started our breathwork sessions, and she was finding it hard to sleep. So for her, it's a big win. So if you'd like to try out this experience live with me and many other people from around the globe on Zoom, then make sure you join our Facebook group at my7chakras.com/tribe. 7 is a word, so that's my7chakras.com/tribe. We already have over 3,000 members in there, but there is definitely a spot for you. And if you'd like to connect with me personally, then just email me, aj@my7chakras.com. That's aj@my7chakras.com for any feedback, any observation, any communication, you'd like to collaborate, or you have a message for me, any of that sort, get in touch with me and we'll connect. And it was so awesome to connect with you one-on-one today, Action Tribe. And my goal is to do more of these episodes where I share all these ancient wisdom practices that I'm coming across and the research to back it up. Because this is life changing. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to My 7 Chakras at my7chakras.com. That is my seven chakras.com.